going on, people out there? You got the Hackshore Laser Show, and I'm your host, Johnny Hacker. Today is Friday, the 16th, at umpteenth hour in the morning. With me, we have Avid.
Hey.
And Hairball.
Hey, what's up?
You guys want to promote anything real quick?
HBX Networks.
Dig Magazine, digzine.com.
And as always, you can get me at 206-984-5677. Or if you want to just go ahead and leave a message over here for show ideas, or if you got something that you want to promote, I'm all about free promotion. We're going to kind of ghetto rig this tonight. There's not going to be any music like there normally is. We are actually going to be doing live social calls. Well, not live, but we're going to be doing recorded social calls on another number of hours. It's going to be 206-984-6673. That's 206-984-6673, and that's going to be for social engineering. I'm also going to be getting some more laser numbers. That way we can go ahead and put all listed elevator numbers up on that one. We've had numerous requests for elevator numbers to be given out, and just basic numbers of interest. So if you guys have any numbers that you want to go ahead and post up and have posted, just leave the number and who posted it, and I'll make sure that you get the proper credit for it. All right. So this show tonight, we're going to be talking about remobs.
Those things that aren't supposed to exist.
Yes, they are not supposed to exist, and not a whole lot of people know about them. There's a lot of interesting stuff going on in the remob world, especially tonight. I guess I'll go ahead and let Avid go ahead and take over since he found the first one.
Okay, well, we've all read about remobs in the 80s text files and their ability to monitor a line unscrambled. They've been pretty much, said not to exist. Some people say they exist, but we've actually found a remob while scanning a specific GTE exchange, and the remob is owned by Verizon, which means it probably serves all their service areas, hopefully. Unfortunately, we do not have a password for the remob, so we cannot get into it at the current time, but this proves that the remobs do still exist.
I think the users would really like a three-way.
Yes, go ahead and three-way the remob. Here we go, just to go ahead and dismantle all the disbelief out there of whether or not the remobs do exist. This is a single remob. We're not connecting to a telco for remote observations through switch surveillance. This is a straight remote observation. And here we go.
Thank you for calling Q8 Remote Observation. Please enter your 5-digit security code.
And then after you press that 5-digit security code, what happens is you'll be instructed with a prompt. Actually, I did have a pass for that. I did get two. Pathetically easy to get, believe it or not. You know, you just have to try and think of a way to get it. You know, it's not too hard when you really put your mind to it. And I really don't want to go into any explanation of how to do it. The reason why is because that would end up killing the remob, and they might actually transfer the number. And what's really funny is I'm starting to think that each individual login, the 5-digit security codes, because there are many different security codes for that remob number. So I was thinking, because I got blocked from both security codes, I had two security codes for that was given to me by a company. Okay. And in essence, I believe that those security codes may be ANI sensitive, because when I called both times, my Annie was the actual REMOM number itself. So there is a million ANI spoofing scripts out there. I believe you can do it through Asterisk PBX. People believe that Voxio is dead, but it's just dead for talking. You can still spoof through Voxio for calls and whatnot, but you just can't talk over the line. Do you guys know anything about what's that one, Genie?
No,
Genie. I'm not sure if you can still spoof through Genie or not. You guys are going to have to let us know about that.
Also rumored to exist that certain prepaid calling cards allow it. Unfortunately, I haven't had the pleasure of discovering any of those just yet.
But what is very interesting, though, is that with this REMOB, like with the REMOBs that I actually knew of, they were all like area codes, because back in the old days when 800 first came out, they started putting REMOBs on there, and then the 800 REMOBs were passcoded. And the funny thing about the area code REMOBs were they were not passcoded unless you came across a REMOB that an 8 directed itself to. But those REMOBs, they weren't all universal encompassing, because with this REMOB, I made two calls. My first call should have been to an ANAC, you know. I wasn't thinking. But that's what I should have done. I should have called an ANAC to get the original area code of the number. You know, I was thinking about that over dinner tonight, and I was just beating my head over it.
Oh, which, by the way, is not in the RAS board.
Oh, yes, this number is not in the RAS board at all. And what's funny about it is the RAS board number itself isn't even in the RAS board database. And that's actually the first time that I ever saw, you know, a number fail to be in the RAS board database without at least providing a code.
Yeah, and this just goes to show that certain high-level numbers just aren't going to be listed. I mean, simply the fact that the RAS board itself isn't listed shows that most of the telco stuff probably won't be in there.
Very true indeed. Now, what happens when you dial into it? Go ahead and you basically get a four menu prompt. And with that four menu prompt, I believe the first one is to enter the number. And then there's like other like little non-essential prompts and stuff. Gosh, I don't even remember what the hell they were. But the first one is to go ahead and enter the number. So you go ahead and press 1, and then you enter the area code and phone number. I didn't try any 800s, you know, and I really should have done that with the ANAC. But I went ahead with the two different passes that I did get from a certain company. I was able to log in both times, only logged in once on each time. The first time, there was nobody on the line whatsoever. It was just a test run. So I went ahead and I logged into the other one, and then there was a dial tone, and then somebody was actually dialing out on the line. And I listened to their conversation. I mean, they were talking, you know, it was like one friend to another for about an exchange of about 8 minutes. And then when the other person hung up, when the first party hung up, I basically said, you know, get the fuck off, you know. Or no, I said, shut the fuck up.
Okay,
you know,
this is all theoretical.
Right, theoretical. I said, shut the fuck up, and the person hung up. So we are not totally sure if audio can be transferred through the REMOB yet.
Yeah, but it's very possible the person was just hanging up anyway and didn't even hear you.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too, but it was darn coincidental, even though he was going to hang up anyway.
I don't know how far you can go in saying that, but, you know, next time something like this could happen, you should definitely make a recording, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I wasn't even thinking about that. I thought the damn passcodes would be up for a little while.
Well, you know, I've abused many systems before, and I'm even shocked to see that passwords can disappear after a single non-abusive use.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even, like, abuse it, though. You know what I mean?
It just goes to say that how much attention is being paid to this number, whereas a single unauthorized use equals the account getting erased. I've never even seen that on high security servers before.
And the thing is like, I'm not even sure if it's, like, totally down. Maybe the system is just rebooting itself or something. you know, and the passcodes will again once work.
Well, here's another possibility. Maybe they're just one-time use codes.
Oh.
Like an ASCII type system or a challenge response where you have to have a new code every time.
Right.
I mean, if that might be based on the time of day or the date or any number of things.
Right. Which would make sense since usually those systems are used by law enforcement with court orders.
Right.
Under my understanding, anyway.
And private investigators, too. They also lease three mobs, at least the local ones.
I didn't know that private investigators can get the authority to tap someone's phone line.
I believe they can as long as they have a subpoena, you know, or it's prevalent to a case.
Now, you had mentioned to me earlier that if your phone line is being mobbed, you hear a slight noise in the background.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because every now and then I would get a little, it's like a little...
And then how sure are you that this is a remob doing this and not some other line condition?
I don't think there was another line condition because, for one thing, it was at nighttime, you know. Number two, it may not have been a remob, but I don't know of any DNRs that do that, you know, and I don't really do anything over my phone, you know, to where I would have to be on fear of, like, telco security, you know, monitoring me all the time. So, and the funny thing about it, though, is I could hear it on my end. Even with the dial tone, I could still hear it. And when I'm actually on a call with somebody, you know, the person on the other end cannot hear the same tone. They don't hear anything at all.
Well, you would think after how many years of phones being around that they would be able to tap them without making any noticeable difference to the line. It kind of leads me to believe that what you heard may have been some kind of local condition at your office or something that would interfere with the line and not someone tapping you.
Right.
I mean, I'd like to think that the FBI has gotten good enough where they can tap lines and there's absolutely no way you can tell.
Yeah, no way whatsoever.
But then again, them guys never get anything right anyway, so who really knows?
Well, I don't know. You know, they always give the FBI pretty elite stuff and they don't even know how to use it.
Yeah, that's usually how it ends up working.
Because usually when they bust hackers and stuff, that's why as part of plea bargains they go to work for the FBI.
You know, they haven't offered me a job yet. Okay, attention all feds. I'm for hire. I will work for you guys. Don't throw me in jail.
Don't throw you in jail. You want to leave an email?
Oh, they know where to find me.
Oh, my. But don't let me know. I'm about to light a joint.
That sounds like fun.
By the way, I'm not advocating drug use, and drug use is bad, and I think nobody out there should do it.
Unless you're over 13.
Yeah, unless you're over the age of 13. No, Abbott, no. No, you got to be at least 16.
Yeah.
And pot is not the gateway drug.
You probably shouldn't do it while you're driving either.
Mm-hmm.
Personal home recreational use only.
But also what we're going to be doing, though, with the shows and stuff, we're going to be setting up a directory number just to get off the subject of remob just really quick while I got this in my train of thought.
You're exhausted remobs already, though?
Yeah. We'll move on to something else. These things go on forever. I just love these greetings. I'm gonna set up a main directory because I want to have a whole bunch of laser numbers for you guys. So like one for hacking, like one for freaking, one for listening to like social engineering, another one like anything that you guys can think of. You know, that's, you know, within, you know, the confines of like HP and, you know, or social engineering and white collar. Just go ahead and you can either hit pound now anytime during this, it automatically leave a message or wait till the end of this, or you can hit me up.
And, you totally want to wait till the end and listen to all the great things you're going to talk about.
Oh, yeah. We haven't even scratched the surface yet. You know, and I'm starting to get high, so, and you guys know how I expound. So,
you know, something that really concerns me is the fact that a lot of people are starting to use laser for applications such as this, and I think it's only a matter of time before they realize what's going on and put some kind of limit on their outgoing mail system.
No. This is actually how we, let's see, who is it? It's something Anderson. I want to say Keith or Kevin. Kevin Anderson, I believe, is the one that owns this system. He is also the guy that owns NoCharge.com. The guy that owns NoCharge.com also owns this laser system. And he's basically getting the same fee as the CLAC gets, you know.
So the more people listen to it, the more happy.
Right. You know, and then that would also make more sense because, you know, when you go ahead and get your own voicemail here, the number to get one, by the way, and in order for it to be set up, you have to press star 82 first. They don't ask for any, like, real information. I'm sure that your ANI is not logged to your number, but that number is 206-376-5000, and you have to unblock your number. I think the closest thing that they come to owning you is your zip code, and that's it, and you can just make that up if you feel that, you know, you want some privacy.
You know, when I set mine up, I don't remember having to unblock my number. Yeah, I know for the zip code, I always just plug in 90210, and I never had a problem with that.
Right. Hey, that's what I used. You know, maybe it was the show. But
we'll sign off at K7.net.
K7's nice.
You sound so high.
Hey. The show is about to get more interesting.
Well, you mentioned earlier about elevator numbers, and only recently did I even know they exist, and now it seems like there's so many of them floating around. Are these a new thing, or they just haven't been discovered before? Only the newer elevators have them, or what's up with that?
Well, the thing is honestly, I think that the elevator numbers is, I think that people probably thought that they were just room monitors. You know what I mean? Because, if you never called an elevator before,
you know what on it.
Right, you know. Well, do you want to go ahead and three-way that one, the 508? Do you have that number? I'll give it to you real quick.
I don't have it handy. What is that?
Okay, it's 508-792-1174. By the way, this elevator is located at 40 Belmont, and it is elevator number 2 if you guys ever want to go and listen, you know. Maybe you'll be lucky enough to hear us call in one time, and you can go ahead and shoot the shit with us or tell us that we just suck.
Well, I'm thinking that if, them calling it, that won't work because two people can't call this, can they?
Mm-hmm. No, this is the funny thing now. If you are on the line and you will hear what sounds kind of like music, you know, it'll sound like a ding, 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 ding. That means somebody's trying to call in. So if you hang up, you're not going to be able to get back on until that person gets off it.
So is that all waiting, or what is that?
I'm not sure how that works, but every time I heard that, you know, somebody usually on the DDP, you know, that will remain nameless, you know, Majestic or Prism. But, you know, no, I don't know if they really did, but usually it's people that's on the DDP there, because I think this number was posted up, I believe, where was it, on BinRev Forum.
Where did this one was again?
This one is in Western Massachusetts at 40 Belmont Street.
That's the East Coast, right?
Yeah, that's the East Coast.
So it's going to be approximately 2:15 a.m. on Friday morning. I'll go ahead and freeway that right now.
Okay. Now, the interesting thing about this is when the elevator is beeping, that means that it's actually moving. And me and a colleague of mine, Backbone, we really hit this. Here we go. And it's not moving. Now,
echo.
That's not moving.
Four, please.
What's funny about the elevator now is don't press star or anything. But when you hit star, you can set the alarm off. And we set the alarm off so many times that they don't even come anymore. And the funny thing about this place here is that there is no elevator repair. There's no, like, little office or anything in this building. It's all remote access. And what we learned about it, myself and Backbone, we learned that there's a CCTV camera in there that probably has its own IP number. Yeah, very. You can change floors on people when they press a button. The elevator has to be in motion, and they have to press a button. And the way that you do that is if you want to send them to one of, there's 16 total buttons, and I think there is, I think it's 14 floors. It goes 14 floors up, and I think that there is a garage. I'm not sure. I think there's a garage. And So if you want to send them to floors 1 through 9, then you press pound 0 and then that number. If you want to send them to anything above 9, like 10 to 14 or 10 to 16, then you press pound and 10, like pound 10, pound 11, pound, you know.
Yeah, that's fairly simple to understand.
Right. And so you just go ahead and do it like that.
I'd just like to say one thing real quickly. I said you could sign up for Laser voicemail at K7. That's wrong. It's a different service.
Okay. Noted.
Very noted. So, okay, you can hang up off the elevator.
Well, I don't know. Shall we do the whole show in there in case someone comes in?
Oh, yeah, we'll just go ahead and do it.
Okay.
People, if a person comes on, they're going to get hell.
Right, and of course, when we're talking right now, it's actually being broadcast over the speaker in the elevator. And if they come on and they talk, we'll be able to hear them as well. It's sort of like a phone system right there.
Yep.
And the fact that our elevator maintenance is a remote facility would probably explain why this elevator has a direct line attached to it. I do believe that the numbers are supposed to be set on a PBX system or password of some sort, and I really start to see why these are on POTS numbers like this with no kind of authentication. Any idea why they set up this way?
Actually, when I went to report to parole, by the way, I'm off parole. Thank you.
Thanks.
When I went to the state building, there was an elevator technician there, and he was having lunch in his little elevator tech van. And before I went in to see my parole officer, I decided to talk to him. And he was actually pretty surprised I was talking to him about elevators and actually pretty knowledgeable, you know, being that, you know, that we all started messing with these numbers and stuff. And he said the reason why there are straight access is if there's ever a problem in the elevator, and like, let's say, you know, the cable snaps, you know, God forbid, you know, a cable's fringed or something, and, you know, they fall, or if an elevator gets stuck, law enforcement and rescue can go ahead and call the number and make sure that everybody's okay and get an overall assessment of what's going on in the elevator.
So that would mean that the emergency services in the area have a database of these numbers?
Yes.
So wouldn't it be an interesting attempt to call the local 911 center and try to get that information from them?
I think it would be.
I work for a security company part-time, and we install residential and commercial burglar alarms.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do the contract work to have a monitoring company watch over the system, one of the things we have to do is supply them with a direct POTS number to 911. So basically, through my job, I do have access to POTS numbers for every 911 system in America.
Nice.
Which I might want to release a few of those in the future.
Ooh.
And I'm thinking if you call those up under the right pretext, you might be able to get them the fax list of all the elevator numbers that they control over.
Nice. Actually, let me go ahead and give out some of these elevator numbers I have. Did you have anything you want to talk about while I look for these numbers?
Kind of caught me off guard. I guess I can plug my free shell project.
Oh, go for it.
Okay. My handle's Hairball. I'm out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I run a project called HBX Networks. We have a rather nice Unix machine. It's a dual Xeon, but it's hyper-threaded, so it actually shows as being four logical processors. It has 2 gigabytes of RAM, 3 hard drives, 2 of which are 120 gigabyte IDEs and a 17 gigabyte SCSI. And we actually allow people to use our machine completely free of charge for hacking purposes. Hello, who's on the elevator?
Oh, they're getting on. Doors are open.
Hello, this is the elevator technician. Can you hear me?
Sure.
Do you have any problems with the elevator right now? We reported some trouble earlier.
I just got on.
What building is this elevator in? We seem to have our directory messed up.
Oh,
great. Is anybody there this time of night? Any staff around? Anything like that?
No.
Okay. What's that?
Call maintenance.
Well, we actually are the maintenance department. We run things remotely, and we're trying to figure out if we have to actually come down there or not. The elevator actually called us up and reported some trouble with the third floor. Is the third floor button working for you, ma'am?
I don't know. I'm on 9.
You're on 9?
Yeah.
Okay, you too. Okay. Anyway, back to where I was saying.
She was very helpful, by the way.
Yeah, most people aren't that nice. Anyhow, you can connect to my machine. The IP address is nova.hbx.us. Login and password is the word new in lowercase. Once you log into the system, you'll be prompted for the username you'd like, the password you like, and nothing else. All you gotta do is hack any password, and boom, you have an account on our box. You can hack anything you like from our box, as long as it's legal. Legal meaning that you have permission from the system administrator of the real machine to hack them. If you don't have permission, don't tell us this, because legally we are required to prevent you from accessing the box in the future. We do block access to IRC ports due to people running Cybounce and Eggdrop and stuff. We feel that with all the things you can use a shell account for, running IRC bots and bounces is just a real waste. Other than that, it's a free-for-all. We have a public exploit collection. We give you over 150 megabytes of space. It's a really good deal. Check it out. Website is www.hbx.us. That's all.
Nice. Abbott, you got anything you want to plug? Not really. Not really.
What's that thing you were talking about earlier, the Dig something?
Dig magazine?
Yeah, I'm not really familiar with that. What's that all about?
That's a magazine started by Low Tech. It's an independent publication. It's available in text or in printed form. You can buy the magazine, the current issue, for $2, or you can wait, I'm not supposed to say this, but you can wait till the next issue and get the past issue for free.
This is actually a good thing, because I like to see more in-print magazines. The 2200 magazine has pretty much dominated that field for the longest time, and as we all know, their magazine is kind of lacking something called content.
Right.
So I'm definitely interested, and I'm going to go ahead and check that out a little later. It's called Dig. I think I've seen the web on the link on the website somewhere.
If you're paranoid about giving out your information, you can actually pick this zine up in various bookstores on the web, which carry it, like Quimby's bookstore. And that's about all, really.
Excellent.
I think Low Tech is trying to convert some of the issues to HTML.
Well, what do you guys cover in the magazine?
Currently, it's a lot of computer hacking and freaking, but the next issue will have a wider variety of things. It's not just related to technology.
Nice.
Sounds like fun. You know, all these magazines floating around there, I mean, it's a shame they don't come up with one really good one. A lot of my friends, I tell them, you know, they write such good articles, and I'm like, why don't you submit these to an imprint magazine such as 2600? And they always come back to me and say, why would I want to submit articles to that magazine? They print nothing but garbage. And I turn around to them and I'll say, well, maybe if you submit an article, they print it. And people are saying, you know, they're not printing garbage anymore. And then all of a sudden, all these people who weren't submitting things would. I had an opportunity to talk with one of the staffers of 2600 magazine, and they informed me that they're starving for articles and no one's writing for them because of the fact that they don't print anything any good. And this is turning into a vicious cycle where because they have no good content, no one wants to submit, and, you know, you're not getting not going to get any good content that way. I'm a big supporter. I've wrote for them in the past. You know, it's just a really good cause.
Personally, I stopped buying the magazine due to the overload of political issues.
Well, everyone always says in the hacker field they hate political stuff. They hate political stuff, but I'm willing to bet this radio show itself is going to turn political. It's only a matter of time. There is so much anti-hacking legislation that's complete bullshit floating around. You have to turn political sooner or later just to let people know all the stuff that's going on. I definitely forgive Mr. Goldstein for his radio show because it's all political, but it has to be. Otherwise, you know, people aren't going to know some of these things are going on. There should definitely be a half and a half. I think a good radio show would be maybe for the first half an hour, just talk about, you know, what's going on with this, what's going on with this, all real true hacking issues, and maybe have a blurb at the end about the current politics. But it's definitely something that although it is being overloaded nowadays, it should definitely not be mentioned. People need to know what's going on.
I agree it should be touched upon, but it seems like too many people go overboard with the politics.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
Well, it all depends on as long as, you know, you keep it in a certain format, you know. Like, I think if we ever went political on here, it would definitely just be, you know, scene-related.
Yeah, and maybe you can say whatever at the end of the show.
Yeah.
You know, first 45 minutes, hack this, hack that, and you're like, okay, well, all you guys that hate politics, fuck, I'm gonna turn off now. We got 15 minutes worth of shit left for you.
Right.
And I personally, I don't mind listening to this stuff, because these are things that I need to know.
Most definitely. Okay, I have two more elevator numbers for you guys out there. This one's located in Winston-Salem. This one is 336-721-1138. I have another one, 402-492-2135. I'm sorry, 9135. That's 402-492-9135.
And what's the second one? What city is that one in, do you know?
I'm not sure. I think it is in, gosh, I don't know. What area code is 402 in?
Let me look it up real quick.
The only thing I know about this one is the person I got it from said that it's a that it's an elevator in a parking garage that has 10 floors in the actual parking garage itself.
Well, I'm willing to bet we won't get very much in this time of night.
Oh, no, probably not.
Omaha, Nebraska.
Omaha, Nebraska. Nice. And there is, the first time I ever called it, I thought it was actually inside of a bank because the three people that I did catch on there, there was two men and a woman down there, and I didn't talk to them or anything, but they were just talking about banking information.
Oh, God.
So any of you out there, you know, that like that sort of stuff, go ahead and call that number and just sit on it for a while.
You know, that's a really good idea, the way to get information, because people, especially in a parking garage, they're going to work or they're going to the bus station or something, and they got things in their minds, and they're going to talk in the elevators.
Yes.
So, I mean, this is a good information collection tactic to fulfill one of these numbers.
Right.
So, the 402 is in Omaha, Nebraska. It's a 10-floor parking garage. Winston-Salem, is that Salem, Massachusetts? I'm not really sure what Winston-Salem.
Oh, yeah, it's North Carolina. Winston-Salem, North Carolina. That's Bell South Telecom is the RBOC.
Where is that one located? Is that an office?
Oh, I'm not sure. We were not able to pull up any information for that.
And you couldn't get a hold of anybody on the elevator to ask them where they're at?
No, there's hardly anybody ever on that elevator. And actually, that elevator, actually, you want to three-way that one real quick?
Yeah, sure. The 336 one?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and disconnect.
Okay.
Right elevator, and I'll call it one right up. Be right back.
Right. That elevator is actually kind of weird.
Okay.
Because there's hardly anybody even on that one.
Well, let's see if we get lucky.
All right. So here we go. Elevator number two. That number again was 336-721-1138.
We should be connecting if I maybe flashed over too soon. I'll try again.
Okay. That's good.
Actually connected. Let me try this one more time.
All right.
Begin speaking at the tone. When you're finished, hang up or press pound for more options.
Hey, what's going on, people? This is Johnny Hacker, the Hacksaw Laser Show. Unfortunately, you are hearing this as a result of editing. What happened during the show was the system couldn't take all the three-way, and so it went ahead and shut us off. But we were going to do a retake, but then we realized that, you know, pretty much everything we all wanted to talk about and stuff was out there, so we're just going to let this ride.